ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Reading from Canto 10, Chapter Number 20, Text Number 19. Nararajodu paschannaha swajotsnarajiter ganaihi ahammatya bhashitaya swabhasa purusho yatha नरराजोड़पच्छन्नः स्वजोत्स्नाराजतैर्गणैः अहं मत्याभासितया स्वभासा पुरुषो यथा नरराजोड़पच्छन्नः स्वजोत्स्नाराजतैर्गणैः अहं मत्याभासितया स्वभासा पुरुषो यथा। Nararaja did not shine forth. Udupaha, the moon. Channaha, covered. Swajotsna, by its own light. Rajatahi, which are illuminated. Ghanehi, by the clouds. Ahammatya, by false ego. Bhasitaya, which is illuminated. Swabhasa, by his own luster. Purushaha, the living entity. Yatha, as. Translation. During the rainy season, the moon was prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the clouds, which were themselves illumined by the moon rays. Similarly, the living being in material existence is prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the false ego, which is itself illumined by the consciousness of the pure soul. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The analogy given here is excellent. During the rainy season, we cannot see the moon in the sky, because the moon is covered by clouds. These clouds, however, are radiant with the glow of the moon's own rays. Similarly, in our conditioned material existence, we cannot directly perceive the soul, because our consciousness is covered by the false ego, which is the false identification with the material world and the material body. Yet it is the soul's own consciousness that illumines the false ego. As the Gita describes, the energy of the soul is consciousness, and when this consciousness manifests through the screen of false ego, it appears as dull material consciousness, in which there is no direct vision of the soul or God. In the material world, even great philosophers ultimately resort to hazy ambiguities when speaking about the absolute truth. Just as a cloudy sky manifests only in a dull and indirect way the iridescent light of the moon. In material life, our false ego is often enthusiastic, hopeful, and apparently aware of various material affairs. And such consciousness encourages us to push on in material existence. But in truth, we are merely experiencing the dull reflection of our original pure consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness. Direct perception of the soul and God, not realizing that the false ego merely hampers and dulls our real spiritual consciousness, which is fully enlightened and blissful. We mistakenly think that material consciousness is full of knowledge and happiness. This is comparable to thinking that the luminous clouds are lighting up the night sky, while in fact it is the moonshine that illumines the sky and the clouds that merely dull and hamper the moonshine. The clouds appear luminous because they are filtering and impeding the brilliant rays of the moon. Similarly, at times, material consciousness appears pleasurable or enlightened because it is screening or filtering the original blissful and enlightening consciousness coming directly from the soul. If we can understand the ingenious analogy given in this verse, we can easily advance in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnanam Chinashalakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare During the rainy season, the moon was prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the clouds, which were themselves illumined by the moon's rays. Similarly, the living being in material existence is prevented from appearing directly by the covering of the false ego, which is itself illumined by the consciousness of the pure soul. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from the 10th canto. The rainy season and autumn in Vrindavan. So, the Vedic literatures, they say that there are various places in this universe which are spiritually purifying. They're very important. All of them are very important. Recently I was in Ujjain and I came across one verse which says that there are 7 holy places which award liberation simply by setting your foot on that place. It says, Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Kashi, Kanchi, Ravantika, Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Kashi, Kanchi, Ravantika, Puri, Dwara, Vatau, Chaiva, Saptaita, Mokshadayika. That Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Maya means Haridwar, Kashi, Kanchi, Avantika, Avantika is Ujjain, Puri, Dwara, Vatau, Chaiva, and Dwarka, Saptaita, Mokshadayika. These 7 places, they award you liberation simply by setting a foot over there. All of them are very holy places. But the Acharyas, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, explain that still amongst all these important holy places, Mathura holds a very special place. And Rupa Goswami explains that in that verse. Vaikunta janito vara madhupuri tatrapi rasotsavat vrindaranyam udara pani ramanat tatrapi govardhanah radha kundam ihapi gokulapate premamrita plavanat kuryadasya virajato giritate sevam vivekinakah. That more holier than Vaikuntha in the spiritual world is Mathura. Why? Because Vaikuntha janito vara madhupuri. Because even the Vaikunthavasis, if they want to witness the childhood pastimes of Krishna, it is not available there because the Lord doesn't appear in Vaikuntha. That is only available in this material world. And therefore, in order to witness the childhood pastimes, the Vaikunthavasis have to come down to earth planet to witness that. So Mathura is very famous because the Lord was born there. And still potent than Mathura is Vrindavan. Why? Because Lord Krishna, he performed the Rasa Leela, performed very intimate exchanges of love which had never been displayed before by any other incarnation. That happened in Vrindavan. And even in Vrindavan, Govardhan is very important. And in Govardhan, Radha Kund. Because Lord Shri Krishna performed most intimate pastime with his topmost devotee, Radha Rani. So therefore, we are very fortunate that we have access to the most intimate pastimes of the supreme, most original source of all incarnations, Sri Rasaraj, Sri Krishna, in Vrindavan. Because Krishna is available in Dwarka also. He is available in Mathura also. But the pastimes that he has performed in Vrindavan is so special. Because, and as here we see in this chapter, that the holy land of Vrindavan is glorified so much. Because it's such a special place, it's so dear to Krishna, it is so dear to the devotees of Krishna, that even though Krishna left Vrindavan, but the gopis did not leave Vrindavan. That is how important Vrindavan is. Krishna lived in Gokul for 3 years, 4 months. Then, because of the attack of the demons, he moved to Vrindavan, where he lived for about 6 years, 8 months. Then he moved to Mahavan, where he lived up to 10 years of age. Then after that, he went to Mathura, where he lived for about 13 years, 6 months. So, by the age of 23 years, 6 months, he left Mathura and went to Dwarka. So, the acharyas explain that it was 10 years of union with the Brajbasis and a century of separation. So, even though Lord Sri Krishna left Vrindavan, the Brajbasis never left Vrindavan. And why they didn't leave Vrindavan? Why didn't they just follow Krishna? So, the explanation is given that Vrindavan is such a potent place that the Brajbasis mood of service to Krishna in that very intimate madhurya love, madhurya prem was impeded, reduced or obstructed when they left Vrindavan. So therefore they couldn't, even though they were meeting Krishna, they met Krishna from time to time, even though Krishna went out of Vrindavan, they did meet with Krishna from time to time at Kurukshetra and at Siddhashram, where Krishna would come and they would meet, but they would not feel the same ecstasy. They couldn't relate with Krishna in the same way as they could relate with him when he was in Vrindavan. So, Vrindavan is such a special place that they didn't leave Vrindavan, because Vrindavan, whichever place, enhances your remembrance of Krishna, is the most potent place to live. Of course, there are other reasons also mentioned why they didn't leave Vrindavan. Was because Krishna gave them a promise that don't worry, very soon I will come back. So they had that faith that Krishna will come back. So they continued to live. They had that faith. And they were so patient that they, it said that they, at times that they would be so much in agony out of the separation from the Lord that they would feel like committing suicide. Suicide is not a new thing that we see today, people are committing suicide. Even 5,000 years ago, the gopis wanted to commit suicide. But they would always be thinking that if we commit suicide, what will Krishna, it will not please Krishna. Krishna gave a promise, he'll come back, so let us just wait, and they continue. So, the second reason why they continued to live in Vrindavan was the promise that Krishna gave them. Third reason is explained that the places where Krishna performed the leelas with the gopis and the Brajbasis were reminding the gopis of the pastime so much that they didn't feel the separation so much. They were constantly reminded of Krishna. So even though there was separation, there was union. Like that. And then also, we can see that the gopis and the Brajbasis were frequented by the visits of Uddhava and Narada, who would frequently come and do Krishna Katha. So they would hear Krishna Katha, and that way they would be reminded of Krishna. So even though Krishna was not personally present, but they always felt the presence of Krishna by the way of katha, by the way of visiting those places, tirtha. They were living in the tirtha and they would do parikrama of Vrindavan. They would go to the places, different places, and they would constantly enact the pastimes of Shri Krishna and constantly keep the memories of Shri Krishna fresh in their minds. And they would always be in samadhi. There was never a moment when they forgot Krishna. 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, they were constantly meditating on the pastimes of Shri Krishna. Which was again a demonstration of the Lord to the world that how a devotee should be. Samadhi, they were in samadhi. So, and in fact, that is what it is. Even in the pastime, in the Bhagavatam, where Shri Krishna is sending Balaram to the husbands of the Brahman Patnis, who are Yagyik Brahmanas, who are engaged in performing the Yagyas, they didn't notice that Krishna had come. They didn't notice Balaram had come. And they were busy in doing the Yagya. They didn't notice. They failed to appreciate the presence of the Lord. So then Krishna told Balaram, now you go to their wives and beg from them and they will give something. And the wives, surprisingly, even though they were not educated in the Shastras, in a Gurukul, or they didn't have a Guru. Typically in Vedic times, women were not allowed to go to Gurukul or anything. They were not allowed to have a Brahmin initiation, or they would not even be having a Guru, basically. They were considered to be simple housewives. But still, they understood the essence because they were constantly hearing katha. They used to attend satsang programs. They would attend Bhagavatam classes. And therefore, they knew the importance of, they could appreciate the Supreme Lord. And immediately they surrendered their lives. They gave everything to Krishna what they had. And then they said that we want to surrender. And they came to Krishna and they said, please accept us. Accept our service, accept us. We want to be in your service. And then the Supreme Lord, he tells them very important words. Shravanad, darshanad, dhyanad, mai bhavonu kirtanat, na tatha sannikarshena, pratiyata tato grihat. There is no need to stay in my proximity. You have come to surrender to me, I have accepted your surrender, but now you go home and do your household duties, and while you're doing that, be engaged in the process of shravanad, darshanad, dhyanad, mai bhavonu kirtanat. Hearing, chanting my holy names, and contemplation on my pastimes. You continue doing this. And in that way, develop somehow or another, by associating with my devotees, a desire to attain me. Because a desire to attain me will not come by personally being in my presence. So hear about me and develop that desire. So you please go back. So that is the philosophy. That any place which helps you, anything that helps you remember Krishna, develop that desire to serve Krishna, which is the most rare thing in this entire creation, explained by the Shastra. The most rare thing in this universe is what? The desire to serve Krishna unconditionally. And that too in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. That is an extremely rare desire. And no matter what price one can pay, one should be ready to do it, pay it in order to get that desire. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam api kutopi labhyate. That one should be willing to pay any price. Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaidna labhyate. That this desire to serve Krishna in the mood of the Brajbasis is so rare that if one continues to perform pious activities for millions and millions of lives, still one cannot get that desire. So therefore it's so valuable and one should be able to get it somehow or another. How do you get that? There are various ways of getting that, as we already explained. Another way of getting it is, as Prabodhananda Saraswati explains in Vrindavan Mahimavrit, that if a person may study the Upanishads for a whole lifetime, he'll only end up being a jnani. There will not be an iota of madhurya prema or sweetness in his service to Krishna. He will not get that sweetness. But if he lives in Vrindavan, then very soon he will be drowned in an ocean of nectar of the sweet service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very soon. Simply by living in Vrindavan. Not by study of the Shastra, simply. That is the potency of this land of Vrindavan. It is explained that what to speak of the devotees, even the Upanishads personified approached Hari, Supreme Lord, and requested him service to him in Vrindavan. And Lord Krishna said, all right, you take birth. And they took birth in Vrindavan as cows. And they were eating the grass of Vrindavan mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And that's how they developed that sweetness in their hearts, that mellow of service to Krishna. And they gave sweet milk for the service of Krishna. Kamdhenu cows. So they were all Upanishads. So that is the glory of Vrindavan Dham. That it actually enhances our mood to serve Krishna. And of course, Vrindavan is not simply a physical place. It's a state of consciousness also. It can manifest anywhere. It can manifest in Bombay also. Wherever there is the mood to serve Krishna and that madhurya, bhav, there is Vrindavan. So it is false to think that Vrindavan is simply a physical place. No, it is a spiritual place and it can manifest anywhere and any time. So therefore, this place of Vrindavan is actually a very, very... And therefore it is here explained that everything in Vrindavan reminds us of Krishna. Especially the rainy season and the autumn season. Because the rainy season, you have these clouds which have the color of the complexion of Sri Krishna. Ghanashyam. Khana prabham padmadalayutekshanam. Pralambha bahum bhaupitavasasam. Vrindavanon mitta milinda shabde virajatam. Shri vanamalaya hari. So Lord Sri Krishna's complexion is ghana prabham. It's like the color of a monsoon rain cloud. So there are six seasons in Vrindavan. Vasant, Grishma, Varsha, Sharad, Himant, Shishir. So Varsha and the Sharad season has been described here. The autumn and the rainy season. So like that. And here a particular example, an analogy is given with respect to the clouds that you see in Vrindavan. So the clouds are illumined by the moon. So when you look at the cloud, there is a silver lining. It looks like the cloud is giving out the light. You can't see the moon. But the light doesn't belong to the clouds, it belongs to the moon. So therefore the acharyas are explaining, so by an example, that this body is like the cloud, which is illumined with consciousness by the soul. And you cannot see the soul, but you can perceive the consciousness. And we are reminded in the 10th canto, which is the most exalted of all cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam, about who we are actually. About that we are the spirit soul. Back to who am I, the basics, Krishna consciousness. Because unless we do not realize who we are, there is no point in trying to understand who Krishna is. That is the basic. How do we understand who we are? Gita explains, it's not through intelligence. You know, there is a shloka which says that Indriyani Paranyahur Indrebhya Paramanaha Manasastu Parabuddhiryo Buddhe Parasastu Saha. That beyond the sense objects is the, above the sense objects is the, are the senses. Above the senses are the mind and then the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul. So, if the soul is above the intelligence and the mind, how can you use your intelligence to understand the soul? You cannot. If you cannot understand with intelligence even the soul, how can you understand who is God? How can you understand who Krishna is? So what is the process? Therefore the Upanishad explains, Shveta Vatara Upanishad explains, Nayam Atma Pravachenena Labhyo Namedhayana Bahuna Shrutena Yame Vaisha Virunute Tena Labhyasta Saisha Atma Virunute Tanum Syam. That knowledge of the soul, knowledge of Bhagavan will come only by grace. There is no other way. You cannot use your intelligence because the intelligence is below the soul. So therefore, it has to be understood through grace. And therefore, if it would not have been there for the Shastras, we would have never known that we are the souls. There is no way of understanding through intelligence. Therefore, we see in this world that there are so many intelligent people trying to understand. In fact, I was just, in our sessions, I show some documentaries about near-death experiences, past life memories. Such great doctors, such great scientists, trying to understand and analyze the body, but they cannot understand what is the soul. Where is the consciousness coming from? Brilliant thinkers, doctors, engineers, but they cannot figure out what is the soul. It's so subtle, it's beyond the intelligence. So we can clearly understand that it is very difficult. We cannot understand. So therefore, and Prabhupada and the Upanishads, Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th verse, 41st verse also, there is a very wonderful verse explaining with an example what is the soul and the body, how are they related, what is the arrangement. Ahuhu shariram ratham indriyani hayan abhishun mana indriyesham vartmani matra dhishanam chusutam satvam brihat bandhuramesha srishtam. Example is given of a chariot. That you have a chariot with 5 horses. The horses are tied with ropes and the driver is holding the ropes in his hand and the passenger is boarded on the chariot. The passenger is the soul, the driver is the intelligence, the mind is the reins which is tied to the horses, and the horses are the senses. And the senses tend to go in all different directions. And the Shastras explain, even the Katha Upanishad explains, Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi Shariram Ratham Evacha Buddhim Tu Saratam Vidhi Manapragraham Evacha. That if the soul is not conscious, what the soul does in the body? When a passenger sits in the chariot, today we hardly have chariots. Let us take an example of a taxi. You go and sit in a taxi. And what happens? This taxi driver will wait for your instruction. Where do you want to go? That's the first thing he'll ask you. Where do you want to go? The taxi won't move till you express your desire where you want to go. He's waiting. He's looking at you. Now there are 2 things which you can do. Either you can tell him, all right, you go to Radha Gopinath's temple. Or you can say, I don't know really, I just have the mood to just do some time pass. Take me which are the good places in Bombay. So probably then he will take you for some Bombay Darshan. Show you the different places. And finally he will ask you, are you satisfied? So now where do you want to go? And then you say, okay, take me to the temple. So what the soul does is expresses his desire. That's all the soul does actually. And then because of that desire, the taxi driver takes control, takes charge. And he does whatever is necessary. If the desire of the passenger is not very strong, if the driver, he tempts the passenger to say, why don't you go here, there's a nice mela here, very wonderful, amazing, once in a lifetime opportunity. And the passenger may, you know, change his decision to go to the temple, maybe we'll take a detour and go there and have a look and then come. So the only thing that the soul does is desire. And then everything has been carried out by material nature. And therefore, if the desire is not strong, then the mind, the intelligence, and the senses, because the senses, if you see the horses, they have this, they have these flaps over its eyes. What are they for? If you carefully analyze, they have these flaps. It's to prevent the horses from being distracted. There are a lot of distractions, and therefore they put these flaps so that the horses look forward and just keep going where the driver wants him to go. So Shastra explains that there are many, many distractions in this world. And it is quite possible that while we are engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, if we are not careful, to guide our senses in the proper direction, then we may be misled. We may be misdirected. Our senses will draw us in all different directions towards sense gratification. And therefore, a devotee must be very careful in order to make sure that he has a very strong desire, a very strong determination to serve Krishna despite all obstacles, despite all temptations, and to continue in his service to Krishna. Because that's all that the soul can do. I was just coming across a very nice story in the episode of Vishwamitra and Vashishtha, which I was explaining last time. That Vishwamitra and Vashishtha, they always had some kind of an enmity between each other. So once when they ascended to heaven, Indra gave a little more respect to Vashishtha. So Vishwamitra became a little envious and he thought, what is it that he has that I don't have? I've attained the same qualification as him. So he inquired from Vashishtha, and Vashishtha said, it is because of the piety that I am accruing, because I have a wonderful disciple like Harishchandra. So we've been hearing about Harishchandra from childhood, you know, Satyavadi Harishchandra. And really, we can learn a lot from this person. He was a devotee in one sense, but he was more of a pious person. But his determination to follow the path of righteousness was so strong that all of us can learn a lot from it. So there is a story of this Harishchandra, that Vishwamitra wanted this Harishchandra to fall from his path of righteousness, so that, you know, somehow Vashishtha will lose that position. And he also wanted to test how strict he is in his practice. So Vishwamitra goes and begs for charity. So he says, all right, ask what you want. So he asks his whole kingdom. Now, who was Harishchandra? Harishchandra was in the Ikshvaku dynasty, descendant of Lord Ramachandra. So he was a emperor of the world. So he asked him for his kingdom. So he ended up, he was cheated basically. And he gave up his whole kingdom to Vishwamitra. So he had nothing left. So then Harishchandra, he took his wife, he took his son, and he left. Now where will he go? Because there's no place, everything belongs to now Vishwamitra, now where will he go? So he decided he'll go to Kashi, because they say Kashi is on the tip of the Trishul of Lord Shiva. So that is a place which is free from his territory, it is beyond his zone. So he decided to go there. But then Vishwamitra was not satisfied. So he again comes to Harishchandra and he says, wait, Your religious activity is not complete. You have given a charity. That's a religious activity. But it is not complete till you give a donation, dakshina. So you give dakshina. So, Harishchandra said, dakshina, I've given everything, I don't have anything. He said, that's not complete, you have to do it. And Vishwamitra was behind. I will not leave you till you give me dakshina. I want dakshina. So Harishchandra was amazed. He said, what should I do? He has nothing left. So ultimately he was forced to sell his wife. He went into the market and auctioned his wife. Who wants to sell my wife? Purchase my wife. So one old Brahmin came, gave a particular sum and took his wife and took his son also. And he took that money, gave it to Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra said, what is this? For all the austerities I have performed, all the knowledge that I have about the Vedas, this is the dakshina you give me? This is just a token of what I'm expecting. This won't do. I want more. So he didn't have anything. What should I do? So then he started moving around here and there. And Vishwamitra was behind him. Dakshina, 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 dakshina. Doing everything possible so that he does something wrong, falls on the path of righteousness. So that somehow he can prove that he is not so righteous ultimate after all. So finally, Harishchandra thought, what should I do? So then he stood in the marketplace and started shouting, anybody wants to purchase me, I'm willing to sell myself. So then a chandala came. Chandal, absolutely low class, who was working in a cemetery, burning the bodies. He came and he said that, yes, I want some help at the crematorium. So please, I would like to purchase you. So he said, get lost, I'm not going to work for you. I am a Kshatriya from the Surya dynasty. How can I work under you? He said, I'll give you a good amount, fair amount. He said, I will not work under a chandala. I am a Kshatriya. We only are under the Brahmins. We cannot be under a chandala. So then, Vishwamitra came there. And he says, why don't you accept that service? He's giving a good amount. Take it from him and pay me. So Harishchandra said, I am willing to become your servant. Why don't I become your servant? You pay me and take that money as dakshina. But don't engage me under this chandala. That would be the most degradation of the system of Varnashram. Why do you do that? He says, nothing doing. If that is the case, if that is your proposal, all right, I purchase you. But then I sell you to this chandala. You go and work under him. And Harishchandra was sold and he went to the chandala. And he was burning the bodies. For a year or so, he was burning the bodies. And over a period of time, his wife, who was somewhere, he was not in touch with his wife, his son got bitten by a snake and his wife did not know what to do and she was in tears and shedding tears, torrents of tears. Finally brings her son to that crematorium. She did not know that her husband is working as one of the chandalas there. And she says that, please cremate my son. And this Harishchandra, he says, I need money for this. You have to give payment. Without payment, how can I burn the body? So she says, no, please, I have no payment. Just do one favor and burn the body. And while they were discussing, Harishchandra realizes that it was his own wife. And it was his own son who's dead. And he starts shedding tears and tears and tears. Couldn't understand what to do. But at the same time, he did not divulge from his decision to always be devoted to the path of virtue. So he said, still I cannot cremate my son's body because I need money. Otherwise my master, it will be injustice to my master. Unfaithful to my master. So you give me money somehow. But he felt what to do. So maybe this time I should make this blunder, but in the return I must kill myself. How can I live with this sin? deceiving the master. So he put the body of his son on the funeral pyre and told his wife that you also jump into the fire. I will also kill myself. And that is the way how we can be freed from this miserable situation of having to see so much of trouble. All we have done in life is stick to dharma, and still this is the reward that we get. Maybe it is the result of our past sinful activities. But I pray to Lord Narayan that maybe I will get the same destination as all of you. We will enter into the same family. So with this consciousness, they enter, they jump into the fire. And at just at that time, Brahma appears, Indra appears, and the Chandala who had employed was actually dharma. So they all come and they shower nectar on him. They get back their original bodies, youthful bodies. The son is revived. He comes back to life and they say, it was a test. You have passed the test. And he's immediately given a very wonderful position in heaven. They ascend to heaven. And still he says, I cannot go to heaven right now. Please forgive me. I cannot go. He says, why not? He says, because I have not made my due payment to my boss, Chandala. And the Chandala, who was dharma himself, assumes his original form and tells Harishchandra that don't worry, it was only a test, you are free to go. So we can see that how determined they were to follow, how strong the desire was to follow the path of righteousness. We can see even in the life of great devotees like Haridas Thakur. He was arrested by the Qazi. They told him, you are born in a high caste Muslim family. Why do you chant the names of these low class Hindus? Chant Allah. Chant Allah's names. But Haridas Thakur said no. No Allah, no Ali, only Hari Hari. I will only do Hari Hari, that's all. So he said, even if you cut my body into hundreds and hundreds of pieces, from each and every part of my body you will hear the holy names of Krishna. That is my resolve. So we can see that in the lives of great devotees, what they have in this is that desire to serve. Very, very strong desire to serve. In every condition, in every situation of temptations or fear, or threat, they never divulge from their path of righteousness and the path of devotional service. For Krishna conscious devotees, it is their service to Krishna that they don't divulge from. Yeah, so therefore we can see that is the glory of Vrindavan Dham, that's the glory of devotional service. And of course today is Mohini Ekadashi. Wonderful story is there. Just in brief I will explain that Yudhishthir Maharaj once asked Krishna that what is the glory of Mohini Ekadashi. So Krishna tells the story which Vasishtha had told Lord Ramachandra when Lord Ramachandra had asked that how can I become free from the separation that I feel from Mother Sita. So then he told the story of one great merchant, Dhyutiman, who had a son, Drishtabuddhi. He was living in one place, Bhadravati. And he was a very righteous merchant, but his son was a very, very evil man. Very, very evil man. And despite all attempts to rectify him, he was not getting reformed. So after some time, he was thrown out of the kingdom and so many things happened. There was no sin that he had not performed. A very, 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 very sinful man. Absolutely sinful. Murders and thievery and everything. And the huge list is mentioned in the Shastras about what are the sins that he performed. Finally, something happened. That Kaundinya Rishi came out of taking a bath from a holy river. That a few drops from the cloth of Kaundinya Rishi fell on the body of Drishtabuddhi, and immediately all of his sins were vanquished, and he got some intelligence to think that how I can come out of the situation. And he inquired from Kaundinya Rishi, and Kaundinya Rishi told him that on the day of Mohini Ekadashi, if you perform devotional service, you can ascend to the spiritual world. And he performed devotional service today, and at the end of the performance of devotional service on Mohini Ekadashi, that is today, he saw a huge chariot ascend from Vaikuntha and took him to the spiritual world. Like that. So that is the glory. In fact, there is one more pastime which I forgot to tell, that Vrindavan is a place from where the gopis also ascended to the spiritual world. They never left. In fact, when Krishna, when he came to Siddhashram to for a particular spiritual purpose, at that time the gopis also visited Siddhashram. So at that time Krishna, he expanded himself into two forms. And one form went back to Dwarka with the Dwarkavasis, and another form went with the gopis back to Vrindavan. And they welcomed him. They were so happy that Krishna has come back to Vrindavan. And they inquired from him why Krishna had left and he never came back. Especially Radharani was very much affected. So Krishna, he explained to her what her position was, that how she is non-different from him, and reminded her of that how they are performing a leela here. And he had all the Vrajbasis sit around him and informed them that how this world is a horrible material world filled with birth, old age, disease and death, and he made arrangement for them to leave this world. And he made Radharani sit on his left, Vrishabhanu, Kirtida were sitting on her left, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were sitting on his right, all the Brajvasis were sitting in front, all the gopis were also there, and Lord Shri Krishna, he summoned the chariot from Golok Vrindavan, and he made all the gopis, all the Brajvasis sit in that chariot, and the chariot ascended to the spiritual world. So we can see that such is the glory of Vrindavan Dham, that simply by the touch of that holy place, just as we can see from the touch of the water from the cloth of Kaundinya Rishi, this Drishta Buddhi was purified. So similarly, by the touch of the association of pure devotees, by the touch of the holy sound vibration of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, we can also be purified, and we can develop the desire to serve Krishna in the mood of the Brajabasis, of the gopis, and ascend to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.